Okay, so as you know, alhamdulillah, salatu salam ala rasulillah. As you know, we completed the Quran last night, and the completion of the Quran happens when we do the 30th juz. I'd like to just focus on a couple of surahs that are really beautiful, and they were addressing the Prophet alayhi salatu salam when he was going through some very, very difficult times. And really, if a person is going through some difficulty in his life, some challenges, maybe he's upset and he's despondent about situations that are happening in his life, these two surahs are surahs that a person can focus on and look at the translation and the tafsir of, and really can get a lot of hope from them. So firstly, it's Surah Al-Duha. Surah Al-Duha. And secondly, after that, if we have time inshallah, Surah Alam Nashrah, I'll do them both inshallah. So when was Al-Duha revealed? Both of these surahs were actually revealed approximately around the same time, at the beginning of prophethood. And they were revealed at a time when the Prophet ﷺ was going through a lot of difficulty. Surah Al-Duha was revealed at the time when the wahi stopped coming to him for a few days. There are different opinions of the Mufassireen as to how many days it was. Some say it was 10 days, some say it was 12 days, some say as much as 40 days that the wahi stopped coming to the Prophet ﷺ, and because of that, he became very upset, thinking that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was displeased with him, or something happened, and because of that, the wahi has stopped coming. And in addition to that, because the wahi was not coming, the kuffar of Quraysh, the disbelievers, they started taunting him. For example, Umm Jamil, who was the wife of Abu Lahab, she started saying, "Na'udhu billah, that it looks like your shaitan, your jinn, that was afflicting you, he left you. And that's why you're not getting the wahi anymore. You're not getting these messages anymore." And things like that. These were the messages that the kuffar, the mushrikeen, started giving to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam when he was going through that time. So after this period, when the wahi started again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed Surah Al-Duha. And he takes an oath by two things. He says, first of all, "Wadduha, I swear by the morning light." And the scholars say that it's not just the morning light that is meant here. It basically refers to the whole daylight. I swear by the daylight. "Wal-layli idha saja," and I swear by the night when it falls, or when it becomes tranquil and peaceful. So the oath is taken for two things. What is the purpose of taking the oath by the night and the day? A person, when he sees the transformation of the night and day taking place in front of him, he looks at the day, and then suddenly the night comes. He was busy in whatever he was doing, and he feels that maybe the darkness is a distraction for me. It is not appropriate for me. I wanted to continue with what I was doing. But the reality is that night coming, is actually a blessing for him. The darkness is a blessing for him. Why? Because it gives him an opportunity for him to go to sleep and rest and, you know, be ready for a new day the next day. So this is truly a blessing. And we've probably discussed the fact that it's summer nowadays. There are many countries in the world that, especially during the summer months, there is no nightfall. And because of that, many people in those countries, in the extreme north of the earth, they don't live a normal lifestyle. They have to artificially create nightfall by blacking out the windows and making sure that no light is coming in through the window. And they create this artificial darkness. Why? So that they can get some rest. The actual rest that a person gets during the night. And again, scientists will tell you that if you want to get a really deep and a refreshing sleep, then you should be in an environment where there's no light whatsoever. So this darkness is a blessing. So a person who feels that, you know, the darkness came and it distracted me, it stopped me from what I was doing, and I was busy building a house, or I was busy doing what I was doing, and I was traveling maybe, and because of the darkness I cannot travel anymore. He is actually wrong to assume that. So the message to the Prophet ﷺ was that the wahi comes sometimes and it will stop sometimes. Okay, so you should not feel, O Prophet, that the coming and the stopping, these are, you know, bad for you. The coming is good for you and the stopping is bad for you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has His wisdom in stopping the wahi when He wants, and He has His wisdom of sending the wahi when He wants. The other meaning that the scholars have given of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taking the oath of these two things is that as a human, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he was taking the wahi, which is a heavenly inspiration from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through the angel Jibreel. And after all, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam is a human. He is a human being. He is not divine. He is not equal to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even though Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did give him a certain amount of strength, which was more than regular humans, but he was still a human being. So this divine inspiration coming to him all the time would have been very difficult for him. There are many riwayat that suggest that sometimes the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, when he was getting wahi, and he was sitting on a camel, for example, the weight of the wahi was such that the camel would sit down. The camel would be forced to sit down because the camel could not take the force of the wahi. And there are other riwayat that suggest that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, when he used to get the wahi, he used to start sweating. So the wahi coming to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam was very cumbersome and very difficult for him as a human. So the constant coming of wahi would have been harmful for him. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He allowed him to take a break so that his body could take a rest, just like the night and day. The night, the daytime, it is for working, and the night is for resting. So that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took an oath by the daytime, the daylight, and the night. وَالضُّحَى وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا سَجَى. I swear by the daylight, and I swear by the night when it becomes tranquil. مَا وَدَّعَكَ رَبُّكَ وَمَا قَلَى. Your Lord did not leave you, and He was not displeased with you. So the consolation is, that was the qasam, and this is what's called the jawab al-qasam. When you say, I swear by Allah, this is the qasam, I did this, or I did not do this, this is called jawab al-qasam. So, وَالضُّحَى وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا سَجَى is the qasam, and مَا وَدَّعَكَ رَبُّكَ وَمَا قَلَى, it is the jawab al-qasam. The emphasis, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not leave you, and He is not displeased with you. So the oath is taken to also reassure the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam that what is being said is actual, it's a fact, it is true, and there is a lot of emphasis that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not displeased with you. وَلَلْ آخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ لَكَ مِنَ الْأُولَى. And the akhirah is better for you than the ula, meaning ula refers to something that is close to you. Akhirah, of course, the hereafter. Ula, it means the closeness, which is the worldly life. So this means that there will always be ups and downs in a person's life. There will always be ups and downs in a person's life. And this is what I meant by saying that this surah is a beautiful surah to refer to and turn to when a person is going through difficulties. That ultimately, a person needs to realize that I am heading towards the hereafter. That is my abode. That is the thing that I should be striving for. And any difficulty that I'm getting in this worldly life, it is a temporary difficulty. It's mentioned in a hadith that the Prophet ﷺ said that a person who was the richest person in the world, he never saw any difficulty in his whole life. He will be exposed to Jahannam for a millisecond in the hereafter. And then he'll be asked that, did you see any bliss and any peace in your life? He will say that, I never saw any peace in my life. I never saw any happiness in my life. That 1 millisecond of exposure to Jahannam will be enough for him to make him forget everything. And then on the other hand, a person who had the most difficult of lives, he didn't know where his next meal was coming from, and he was maybe homeless, he didn't have a roof over his head, he didn't have new clothes to wear every week, and maybe he didn't have shoes to wear. This person will be exposed to Jannah for a millisecond, and he'll be asked, did you see any difficulty in your life? And that 1 millisecond exposure to Jannah will be enough for him to make him forget all the difficulties and the trials and tribulations that he faced in the worldly life. So, وَلَا الْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ لَكَ مِنَ الْأُولَىٰ. Indeed, the hereafter is better for you than the worldly life. So, this is what we should be striving for. And again, a person when he's going through difficulties, he can console himself by saying that really this worldly life is temporary, the difficulties of this life are temporary, I need to focus on working on my hereafter. وَلَسَوْفَ يُعْطِيكَ رَبُّكَ فَتَرْضَىٰ. And it's very close that your Lord is going to give you and you're going to be pleased. The word sofa, it's used for a future which is a little bit distant, not very close. So remember that this surah was revealed at the beginning of the prophethood of the Prophet ﷺ, when he had a handful of Muslims who had accepted Shahada, and the people around him were oppressing him and giving him a hard time and rejecting his message and calling him Majnoon. And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that there's going to be a time when Allah is going to give you. You will get from his treasures in the worldly life also. فَتَرْضَىٰ, and you're going to be pleased. And ultimately, towards the end of his prophethood, what did happen? Conquests over the Roman Empire and the Persian Empire and treasures coming from everywhere, this actually did happen. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَسَوْفَ يُعْطِيكَ رَبُّكَ فَتَرْضَىٰ. You will be given, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you, and you will be pleased with what he gives you. And then Allah reminds him of the things that happened in the past. And this is again a very important lesson for us to learn, that sometimes a person, when he is facing difficulties and hardships, he tends to forget the difficulties that he faced in the past. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took him out of those difficulties. And then he forgot completely about that difficulty that he was in before. This, if we reflect, we probably have had many difficulties in our lives. Sometimes maybe we lost a dear one, a dear relative, maybe a child, maybe our parents, or we went through financial difficulties, or we went through a lengthy spell of illness. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes us out of that difficulty, and we then, it is kind of human psychology, that a person tends to forget about the difficulty that he went through. So here, the Prophet ﷺ is being reminded that this is not the first time that you've been through some hardships. You've had a lot of hardships before, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala pulled you out of those hardships too. The first one was that you were born an orphan. You were born an orphan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took care of you all these years because your father was not over you. Your grandfather took care of you initially. And then when the grandfather passed away, the uncle, Abu Talib, took care of you. So you never had a feeling, O Prophet of Allah, that you were an orphan. أَلَمْ يَجِدْكَ يَتِيمًا فَآوَى. Didn't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala find you in the state of being an orphan and he gave you refuge? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected him while he was an orphan, and he took him through his years of being an orphan, and he was protected all through those years. وَوَجَدَكَ ضَالًا فَهَدَى. And he found you. The word ضَال, it means, the literal meaning is misguided, but also it can mean a desolate tree in the middle of the desert. Okay, you have a desert, no vegetation around it, and one tree in the middle that is lush and green and can give fruit. So this is one of the literal meanings of dal. And another meaning is that you were not aware. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala found you unaware and He guided you. So from the perspective of the tree in the middle of the desert, he was the lone person that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given guidance to in a desert of misguidance. Everyone around him misguided, worshipping idols and strayed away from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he is the only one in the middle of that desert of misguidance. He is standing up and proclaiming the message of Tawheed. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala found you, Dal, He found you like this tree in the middle of the desert, and He continued to guide you. That's one meaning. And He also found you unaware of what the reality of Tawheed, the reality of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he never worshipped idols in his life. Before he got prophethood, he never worshipped idols in his life. And he always thought that worshipping the idols is misguidance. And he used to worship according to the teachings of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam that had been handed down across the generations. He used to worship according to his knowledge. But obviously there was a gap there between Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam and himself. So there was this level of not being aware of what he's supposed to actually do, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guided him through that. So you, O Prophet of Allah, you are unaware, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guided you in the past. وَوَجَدَكَ عَائِلًا فَأَغْنَى. And He found you in the state of poverty, and He gave you riches. What happened, again, as he was growing up, being an orphan, not too rich, and just getting by maybe, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed him to meet Khadija, who was a rich and successful businesswoman. She initially employed him and then ultimately went on to marry him. So because of marrying her and because of his own hard work in the business that Khadija made him responsible for, he also started making money, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed him with this sustenance and made him rich. So then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then reminds him, فَأَمَّا الْيَتِيمَ فَلَا تَقْهَرْ وَأَمَّا السَّائِلَ فَلَا تَنْهَرْ. This is again a human tendency that when a person goes through difficulty and he comes out of it, he tends to forget where he was and where he is now. And this again, probably the majority of us, we came back from India and Pakistan and different countries, and we probably had a very simple lifestyle. We maybe made a few rupees from a simple job, and we got those rupees and lived with our parents, and we got by with the little money that we had. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed us and enabled us to come to this country where we maybe came for an education. From the education, we got jobs, and from those jobs, we started making a lot more money than we could have ever imagined a few years ago while we were back home in our countries. And the problem is with a human being that he forgets the reality of where he was and where he is now. So Allah is saying here to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and indirectly to us, that never forget your origins. Never forget where you were. When you don't forget where you were, you will appreciate where you are right now. And the people that you find in the same predicament that you were before, you will feel merciful towards them. فَأَمَّا الْيَتِيمَ فَلَا تَقْهَرْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and to us indirectly, that as for the orphan, do not harass him or do not scold him. When the yatim comes to you, do not be abusive to him, but be kind and gentle to the yatim. And by yatim, because he was a yatim himself, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the correlation is there. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding him that just like you are a yatim, you are an orphan, you should also have mercy towards the orphan, because you know how it was like being a yatim by yourself. And we can take that same example for our difficulties in our life, that we, when we go through a difficulty, whatever difficulty is, it is, we should feel that same person who has that same difficulty, we should feel it, and we should be feel sorry for the person and not forget where we were before. فَأَمَّا الْيَتِيمَ فَلَا تَقْهَرْ وَأَمَّا السَّائِلَ فَلَا تَنْهَرْ. And if you, again, the ayat first of all talked about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam being yatim, and then talked about him being not so well off, and then reminding him that the yatim, take care of him and do not scold him, do not be abusive to him. And the sa'il means the person who asks you, fala tanhar, do not rebuke him also. When the sa'il comes, do not rebuke him, do not scold him, but try to give him something. And if you don't have anything, at least give him a dua rather than scolding him and being angry at him. So, وَأَمَّا السَّائِلَ فَلَا تَنْهَرْ. And according to some scholars, sa'il can also mean a person who comes to you in the quest of knowledge and asks you a religious question and asks you things about your religion. Do not reject him, but teach him there and then. وَأَمَّا بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ فَحَدِّثْ. And as for the ni'mah of your Lord, then proclaim it. The ni'mah of your Lord in the case of the Prophet ﷺ was all of these things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him. And the biggest blessing was the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him prophethood, gave him the revelation, and he gave him the means to guide other people. So this was the biggest blessing, in addition to all of the other blessings that have been mentioned in this surah already. But the biggest blessing was the blessing of guidance, the blessing of prophethood, and this is what the Prophet ﷺ was instructed to proclaim. Going on to the next surah, which, like I said, the theme is very, very similar, to the extent that some scholars say that it may have been revealed at exactly the same time as Duha. So the Prophet ﷺ, again going through difficulty, hardship, and very upset, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to him, أَلَمْ نَشْرَحْ لَكَ صَدْرَكَ. Didn't we open up your heart for you? What that means is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he opened up your heart and your chest for guidance. He guided you. وَمَنْ يُرِذِ اللَّهُ أَنْ يَهْدِيَهُ يَشْرَحْ صَدْرَهُ لِلْإِسْلَامِ. According to one ayat of the Quran, whoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes to guide, he opens up his chest for Islam. أَفَمَنْ شَرَحَ اللَّهُ صَدْرَهُ لِلْإِسْلَامِ فَهُوَ عَلَى نُورٍ مِّن رَبِّهِ. As for the person who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens his heart for Islam, he is on a nur of guidance from his Lord. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, أَلَمْ نَشْرَحْ لَكَ صَدْرَكَ. Didn't we guide you? So again, guidance not in the sense that he was misguided, but he was unaware of what the reality is of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guided him and gave him the prophethood and made him aware of who he actually was. So alam nashrah laka sadarak means, didn't we, O Prophet of Allah, open your heart up to guidance? Wa wada'na 'anka wizrak alladhi anqadha dhahrak. And we removed from you that the weight which was breaking your back. What was that weight that was breaking his back? The confusion that he was in, that he sees the people around him engaged in idolatry, worshipping idols in shirk, and rejecting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and doing things around the Kaaba, making tawaf around the Kaaba naked, and things which were, and the other things related to jahala, burying their daughters alive, drinking alcohol, engaging in warfare. These things were making the Prophet ﷺ upset. So he wanted a way out of these things and wanted guidance as to what to do about these things. So the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guided him and made him a prophet, this removed that weight that was on his shoulders and was breaking his back, because now he had a way out of those things and a means to guide those people that were in that deep misguidance. وَرَفَعْنَا لَكَ ذِكْرَكَ. And we elevated for you your remembrance. And remember, this is the time in which there was only a handful of people that were listening to the Prophet ﷺ and believing in him. And yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling him that we have elevated your remembrance for you. Again, it doesn't make sense in the way that the Prophet ﷺ was given this message. At the time that he was given this message, what does it mean? There were only a few people believing in him, Most of the people were against him. Most of the people were calling him Majnoon and Sahir and all of the rest of the things. So what does it mean when Allah is telling him that we've elevated your remembrance for you? It means up until the Day of Judgment, you will be remembered and you will be respected and you will be dignified and honored. وَرَفَعْنَا لَكَ ذِكْرًا. So whenever we make adhan, أَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ is right there with أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. With the name of Allah is the name of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Whenever we hear his name, we say sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this is being done every time there's an adhan, we hear the name of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam being elevated. Whenever we are in salat, we mention his name. At-tahiyyatu lillahi wa salawatu wa tayyibatu, assalamu alayka ayyuhan nabiyyu wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Sending salam upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then when we send salawat, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad, every single time when we are praying. And then one of the unique things, the boxer Muhammad Ali died recently, right? And you probably, all of those emails that were floating around about the Walk of Fame in Hollywood, and how when he was offered this star on this Walk of Fame, he refused it, saying that I don't want the name of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to be on the floor and people trampling on it. So his is the only star that was put on a wall because of the request made by Muhammad Ali, or his refusal to accept the star. The name of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was put on a wall. That is what is being mentioned here right now. We elevated for you your remembrance. Nobody was allowed to disrespect you. So even though there are many people trying to malign the character of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and trying to say bad things about him, and trying to dig up and use character assassination of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam to make people run away from our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam, but for the most part, there is even non-Muslims have praised the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam and said good things about him. Michael Hart wrote a book about the 100 most influential people in the world, and right at the top, number one, was the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam. And then many Orientalists, many non-Muslims have said good things about the Prophet and praised him, even though they were not even Muslim. So وَرَفَعْنَا لَكَ ذِكْرَكَ, we have elevated for you your remembrance. So this is real comfort for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam when he's going through this difficulty and he's in a minority and people are against him. The fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling him that your remembrance is going to be elevated, this could be a huge source of hope for him. وَرَفَعْنَا لَكَ ذِكْرَكَ. And then after that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says one of the most beautiful verses for a person who's going through difficulty. فَإِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا إِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا. Indeed, with every difficulty there is ease. Indeed, with every difficulty there's ease. Repeat it two times for emphasis. Why two times? Why was it mentioned two times? Just to emphasize the point that when you're going through a difficulty in your life, just be patient and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring ease for you. No need for you to get upset and lose hope and become despondent. With that difficulty, ease will come for sure. And there's again some grammatical kind of stuff. If you're familiar with Arabic, the word al-usr is mentioned twice, but al-usr with alif lam, the scholars say that whenever something is mentioned with alif lam, that same thing applies in both situations. So al-usr is mentioned twice in two sentences, but it's the same difficulty. Al-usr means difficulty. So because it's with alif lam, it's the same difficulty. But yusr is mentioned without alif lam. So that those are two different eases. So from that we can derive that with every one difficulty, there are two eases that happen to a person. So again, if a person reflects upon his life and what happened in his past, he will think about maybe some difficulty that he went through, maybe a job loss, and he was thinking to himself, you know, I had such a great job, I lost this job, what's going to happen to me? But then within a matter of weeks, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses him with a much better job and maybe better pay, better hours, ease for him to come to the masjid, maybe closer to home. So with that one difficulty that took place of losing the job, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made a lot, whole lot of other things easier for him. And this is what is meant by Inna ma'al usri yusra. So these are verses that we should always remind ourselves of when we are going through hard times in our life. فَإِذَا فَرَغْتَ فَانْصَبْ وَإِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ فَارْغَبْ. The Prophet ﷺ is being addressed, and we indirectly are being addressed also. That once you have freed yourself, and to the Prophet ﷺ, when he was freed from giving da'wah to people, inviting to people. And for us, it means that when you're free from your worldly, busy schedules and your workload, then fansab. Fansab, the word nasab, it means you take a stick and you basically pound it into the ground so that it becomes firm. So what it means is that once you're free, then become firm and solid in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Become like this peg that cannot be moved. So this is how we're supposed to be. Irrespective of the things that we're going through in our lives, our focus in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should be the same. We should be like this peg that cannot move. Unfortunately, what happens to a lot of people that are weak of iman is that when they go through some difficulty, they will turn to Allah, make more dua to Him, and this is fine. But then the problem is that when they come back into ease and that difficulty is removed from them, they tend to forget about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They even will forget about the obligation of salat. They may even fall back into disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Fansab, become like this stick that cannot be moved, and be obedient to Him in all situations. Good or bad situations, always be obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa ila rabbika farghab, and only to your Lord pay attention. Meaning that in all of these situations, our attention and our focus should be in first and foremost pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then the rest of our worldly life comes second after that. So like I said, these two surahs, very beautiful surahs, revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he was going through hard times. And again, when a person is going through difficulty, he should ponder over these surahs, over these ayat, and inshallah it will make things very, very easy for him and give him some kind of solace and some kind of comfort in the difficulty that he's going through. I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us tawfiq to understand and practice what has been said and heard.